If you were unable to be with us last week, I want to encourage you to pick up a tape or a CD. One of the things that was mentioned last week is this. I am convinced that one of the rewards that God gives us on this side of eternity is the reward of family and friends. And off of that, I want to tag on that with what we want to talk about today. Everybody needs a friend. Now, there are lots of people who don't believe that. I am a rock. I am an island. Nothing is further from the truth than that. Now, this hits home with me, and I'm going to take just a minute about it, because some of you are going, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But you got to understand that there are a lot of people who don't think they need friends. I've lived there most of my life. I can do it on my own. I don't need any friends. But everybody needs friends, and everybody needs to be a friend. According to your outline there, God's desire is to teach us interdependence, not independence. Friendships come with a price tag. And they are generous. Would y'all like me to get back to good preaching and get away from good meddling? Friendships come with a price tag. And they are generally higher than we want to pay for them. But if we are ever going to learn interdependence, which is what God wants to teach us, it is learned through relationships. Even God is Trinity. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible reads this way. And the Lord God said, "It isn't good for man to be alone." Genesis 2, 18. It isn't good for man to be alone. Now, what we've done is we've taken that verse and we've narrowed it down to, you know, that's people need to be married or, you know, yak. Okay? But that's not what he said. What he said was, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, I'm not being discouraging about marriage. Okay? I'm just saying there's a broad, God was saying something broader there than what we may have looked at this verse to have said before. It isn't good for man to be alone. But one thing we're going to look at in a minute is that a relationship between a man and a woman fulfills a certain aspect of our lives, but a relationship between a woman and a woman and a relationship between a man and a woman, excuse me, between a man and a woman, I can't get away from that. A relationship between a man and a man and a woman and a woman fulfills other areas to make us more rounded and whole as people. My wife's my best friend, but she's not my only friend. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we read this. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. I'm not sure how many of you have ever thought about it, okay? But what did God and Adam do before sin? What did God and Adam do before sin? The voice of God walked in the garden, and God developed relationship with Adam, and if I can use these words, expressed and exposed himself to Adam. Because you see, that's what eternity is all about. Eternity is like being dropped. It's sort of like, this is not the best analogy in the world, but it kind of will help us a little bit. If you were given a foot ruler, dropped in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with these instructions, I want you to measure its height, its depth, its width. How long would that take? For those of you who can't swim, it wouldn't be very long. But see, eternity is where God drops us inside of Himself and says, explore me. See how wide I am, how long I am, how deep I am. That's what eternity is all about. That was what was going on with Adam in the garden. God was saying, I created you for you to have an awareness of who I am. Sin broke that. Calvary restores that. Hello? But Adam and God were walking together, and God was expressing and exposing Himself to Adam. Let's understand that Adam wasn't created with a college degree. I'm not saying he was stupid, okay? I'm saying he didn't have schooling. And so God was the teacher. And they would walk along, and Adam would say things like, you know, well, what is this or why is that? And not only would God explain why it was the way it was, He would also then turn and explain to Adam how it was a reflection of who He is. Because you see, all of creation is nothing more than a reflection of God. Now, the only place I can't find that's in a bat. You know what I'm talking about? Well, creatures hang upside down and look at them. I cannot figure. I've stood and looked at them and looked at them, looked at them in a zoo. I can't see God anywhere in it. So I'm just going to have to either grow into that or to be one of those things on my list of things to ask God about when we get there. You know, God, show me you in a bat. Because all I see in bat is nasty. That's all I see in a bat. When sin broke that relationship between God and Adam, it took seven generations before God found someone else that He referred to as His friend. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we read, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." In Hebrews 11:5 it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Enoch picked up in the relationship where Adam left off, where they simply walked together. And one day they're out walking, and Enoch just walks right on into eternity. Unbelievable, isn't it? After Enoch, we find Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it reads, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." The next friend that God had is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. His name is Abram. When God found him, his name is Abram. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, for in thee shall all the families of the earth be." God and Abraham were friends. Even when Abraham dropped the ball, which he did more than once, he and God were still friends. After Abraham, God found him another friend and a man named Moses. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face unto as a man speaketh unto his friend. As a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, the reason why I wanted to start this off right here is this. In fact, this is one of these sermons that has a long introduction, a very short sermon. Okay? But the reason I wanted to start off here is this. Because I want to try to emphasize to us that there is inside of God, maybe I need to change the word need because I'm afraid of offending you with that word. Let me change the word need to the word longing. There's a longing inside of God for intimate relationship with man, meaning mankind. I personally believe it is a need. I believe God has a need to be in relationship with man. Now, if you want to challenge that issue, just ask me later and we'll bat our heads together. But love has to have something to love. And in the nature of love, it has to be reciprocated. Since God is love, then God has a need. All right, moving on. We, created in the image of God, have that same need. And we cheapen the value of our lifestyles by not willing... Of our lifestyles, that'd be a good word. We cheapen the value of our lifestyles by our unwillingness to pay the price to have friends. God, can I say this? In order to reach His full potential, and don't edit the tape to where I just, you know, you just hear that part, okay? But God, in reaching His full fulfillment, is expressing Himself to us. Now, here's the other part why I want to take us along with this. These guys were not special in and of themselves, that God just simply picked them out and said, all right, I'm going to be friends with you, but I'm not going to be friends with you. One of the questions that has haunted me for years is this question. You ready? Could God only make one Billy Graham, or was God only able to find one person willing to pay the price to be Billy Graham? Now, that's a very haunting question. Because if you understand that the reality is that God found one man willing, then you have to ask yourself, what is it that I am not willing to do that keeps me from reaching my full potential in the kingdom? Now, I'm not saying God needs 100 Billy Grahams. I'm also not saying that we're not reaching our fullest potential. I'm saying it's Sunday morning, so it's inventory time where we pause from our week that is behind us, and before we start our next one, we take a look in the mirror. This morning while I was taking my shower, I heard the Lord say two words. Able and willing. And a lot of times what we do is we buy the enemy's lie. That if I was able to do this or do that or do the other thing, I would. Let me tell you something. Your ability for the things in the kingdom is limitless. Because the ability is not based in you, but based in Him who's in you. So the problem is not, am I able to do what God has called me to do? The question is, am I willing? That brings it home and puts it right in our own lap, which is, of course, where we don't want it to be. I want it to be in Wes's lap, not in my lap. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this, "You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known, or I have communicated unto you." In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, we find this verse. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." And there is a friend. Who's being referred to there, please? Jesus, that sticketh closer than a brother. Not only did God walk with these examples I've already shown you, Jesus Himself out of His own mouth said, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. And to tell you what kind of a friend I will be to you, I am a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's 2 out of 3. You ready for 3 out of 3? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The word communion means association, fellowship, and mutual sharing and partnership. See, God is looking for friends. Jesus is our friend, and the Holy Spirit desires to be our friend. But the hard part is, we got to have the right kind of friends. I remember growing up, and I'd want to do something. My daddy would tell me no, and I'd say, well, but everybody's doing it. And this next line, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Well, son, that's the best reason I know for not being involved. If everybody's doing it, you don't need to be doing it. According to 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says in the NIV, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. There it is. NIV reads, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. In the Living Bible, it reads, don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. Now let me reread that. Living Bible 15:33 of 1 Corinthians. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. So don't tell me that it doesn't make any difference who your friends are or what it is they do. Also, do not tell me that it doesn't make any difference what kind of things you watch on your TV or listen to on your radio. Because it says here in the Bible that if you listen to them, you will act like them. Now, either you're wrong or the Bible's wrong, and guess where my money is today? And guess where it will be tomorrow? It will still be on us being wrong. Now, I'm not saying that when I was 16 that I agreed with this, although deep in my heart I knew it was right. But I was telling somebody this week about when I was a kid and playing a lot of basketball. One of my idols was Pistol Pete Maravich, who wore his socks down around his ankles. So we used to cut the elastic out of our socks to have them hanging down around our ankles like Pistol Pete did. Because you see, what it was you focused on, that's what you wanted to be like. Most of our objections to friendship is based on past hurts and rejections. But an interesting verse is found in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. David said, how I weep for you, my brother Jonathan, how much I loved you, and your love for me was deeper than the love of a woman. Your love for me was deeper than the love of a woman. Now let's put that thing in the correct context so we can understand what's being said to us, okay? Let me look around the room how old we all are. I think we're old enough I can say this and get away with it. There are basically two kinds of relationships. Those that involve sex and those that don't. Hello? Are we all old enough we can say that and not everybody go, okay? There are basically two kinds of relationships. Those that involve sex and those that don't. When sex enters into the picture, the relationship changes. It becomes totally different from the one that doesn't have that. So when David says to Jonathan, your love for me is deeper than that of a woman, it is because he was in a relationship with Jonathan that was able to get to a place of intimacy and realness and transparency and honesty that did not have to involve any physical relationship with each other. There are also levels of honesty and commitment and transparencies that can be reached when there is sex involved that you can never get to when there is not. So what we're talking about is not an either or situation, but simply it is healthy to be involved in a relationship that reaches the full gamut of emotions and honesty and realism and involves physical relationship. And then there are advantages in order for us to be whole to be involved in relationships where there isn't physical intimacy. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Okay, I think you're following me. Okay, now then let's take it a step further. The reason why, whichever relationship we're talking about, that we shy away from those things, though, is because we remember having been hurt. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I would never endeavor to minimize pain or hurt or rejection. Rejection is one of my greatest fears. This past week I had a dream that Michelle left me. One of my fears coming up in my sleep. I had this dream that Michelle left me and I remarried this other woman, and every time she'd do something I'd say, Michelle, don't do it that way. I don't like the way you're doing that. Michelle used to do it this way. Well, Michelle would have never said that. She wouldn't have read it. And I mean, I nagged this person slam to death because she wasn't who my heart was. I have over the last 10 years gotten over more of my fear of rejection because of this relationship than what I would ever have been able to accomplish in my life without the relationship. You follow what I'm saying? Just because there have been hurts in the past, we're not minimizing those hurts. We're not saying that they're not real. We're saying that there's healing for those at a place called Calvary so that we can do it again. What, get hurt again? No, risk being truly loved again. See, it's a matter of which side of the coin you want to look at. Y'all think the show's up here, but you're not. That's not anywhere it is. David had Jonathan, Jesus had John, Paul had Barnabas. The question is, who do you have? There are 7 basic characteristics to friendships. 1, friends help each other. 'Y'all remember Roger Stockleather? He called me one morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was going home, and had run out of gas. Called me up, said, will you come and bring me some gas? And he and I were living at that time out in Harrisburg, and he was working all the way out at the airport, and he was up there on 85 right at Freedom Drive, and we'd run out of gas. I got up and went to my little building to get my gas can, and it wasn't there. You know where it was? Roger's house. So I had to go to Roger's house and get the gas can. Then I had to find a place that was open because it was empty. Rode out to Freedom Drive and put gas in his car. And followed him back home. We lived in the same subdivision. he pulled into his driveway and I rode past and circled a block and pulled into my house and I'm starting to get out. I heard the voice of the Lord God say to me, I'm a friend just like this. When you're stranded, I'll come get you. And I'll follow you all the way home, make sure you get there. I'm a friend just like this. Friends sacrifice for each other. If you get me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it is a sacrifice. Friends, true friends, have the ability to confide in one another. See, it's in that confiding is where the intimacy comes in. And my ability to be able to... Well, let me put it this way. Sometimes, when I have a difficult time making a decision, I'll come home and I'll say to Michelle, this is the dilemma that I'm in. What do you think I ought to do? And even if she tells me what it is that I agree with, I'll choose the other argument and play devil's advocate just to see if we can't, just to make sure we're both going down the right path. And there are times, especially in ministry, and when you're dealing with people and you keep in mind that you're dealing with people and we're talking about eternity, that decisions are not real easy to make. And it's a good thing to have somebody that you can confide in who you know won't tell the things you wouldn't want anybody else to know. Friends, forgive. Friends, correct. See, let me say this about correcting. What a friend does is a friend corrects. What the other thing is a friend is people who try to change you. And people who are trying to change you are not your friends. Did you hear me? A friend can say to me, Don, I don't know what you're thinking, son, but you need to kind of look at this thing this way. But they leave it to me to make the change. They don't try to make the change for me. See, that's what friends do. Friends affirm. And last on my list is friends fellowship with one another. Relationships take time. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Beginning with verse 9. I'm sorry, I still see some of you turning. We'll wait. It's between Genesis and Revelation. It's on about page 6 where it says table of contents. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, begin with verse 9. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, for the results can be much better. Now, is the Bible true or is it not true? Two can accomplish more, I'm reading out of the Living, more than twice as much as one, for the results can be much better. If one falls, the other pulls him up. If a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. Also on a cold night, two under the same blanket give warmth to each other, but how can one be warm alone? And one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Do you know that if you take two, if you have a cord, and then you take and you braid two cords together, that rope is now not twice as strong. It's almost four times as strong. Right? That's what friendships do. Alrighty? The four blessings of friendship are these. Number one, it's a blessing to our work, according to verse 9. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, for the results can be better. At the place that I manage during the week, I talk to my guys all the time about teamwork. That if we will all work together, we will accomplish a whole lot more than any of us will ever do individually. And over the over the years that I've been in management, I've let people go for individualism. No matter how strong of an individual they were. Because I understood the principle that if we are all trying to serve one instead of all trying to help each other, that we're going down, not moving forward. Michael Jordan, for as great a basketball player as he is, has never played 1-on-5. And what he always does is he makes the other four look better than they are, and the four of them make him look better than he is. That's what team is all about. And when you have a friend that you can work with, it not only makes the work easier, it makes the work a better work. According to verse 10, the second thing blessed by friendships is our walk. For if one falls, the other pulls him up. But if a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. I believe that if we had friends in whom we could honestly trust and confide, who we knew wouldn't try to change us, but would hear us out, we could stop sin at its inception before it reached its maturity. If I said to Bryce as my friend, "Man, I'm really mad at George and I'm thinking about killing him. And all I do is sit around and stew on how mad I am at George until the anger builds to such a place to where I do kill him." If I had talked to Bryce first, Bryce could have helped me work through my anger. Thank you very much for just sending you on to see Jesus early. Hey, that's exactly right. What friendships do is they help us in our walk with Christ. They help us in our walk with life and they help us in our walk with Christ. Because we have that person that we can go to and say, "Hey, I can't manage this by myself. I am not a rock. I am not an island. I need your help." The third area blessed by friends is our warmth. Verse 11 says, "Also on a cold night, two under the same blanket warmth each other. But how can one be warm alone?" Do you know that, and let me just play with the words here, okay? Do you know that the coldest people in the world are the ones without friends? Those people are cold. Amen? And our warmth, attractiveness, genuineness of our personality is a result of how willing we are able to be friends and to be friendly. You know, I was looking forward to seeing you today because Mike and I have not seen each other or even talked, which is very rare. We usually talk 3 or 4 times a week. But we haven't seen him or talked to him in over 2 weeks. And I was thinking this morning as I was coming to church, I am so looking forward to seeing Mike. And when I heard that key trying to find its way in the door, and he's standing there with Wes, and how many of you know that when Mike speaks, you know who it is? He says something to Wes. There was, if I can use this word, there was a warmth on the inside. Now, we don't use that word. We say excited and glad and, you know, that sort of thing. But it can all be translated along the same lines in there. Okay? Here comes my friend that I haven't spoken to in over 2 weeks. That's another thing about true friendships. Yeah, but I've seen you. Yeah, you're my friend I take for granted, Wes. Oh, me. Yeah, he got me on that one, didn't he? But it might be longer than 2 weeks before we see each other again. Oh, me. We become stiff, cold. Sometimes we use the word hard whenever we don't have a friend. And then the fourth blessing to having a friend, let's move on quickly, please. The fourth blessing is our warfare. Verse 12. One standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three's even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I know when I was coming up, my dad always taught me that if you get in trouble somewhere, you back up against a wall. You back into a corner where you don't have to worry about your back. You just worry about what's happening right in front of you. That advice came in handy back in the 70s when we were going through busing and desegregation and high school riots and all that sort of thing. That advice came in real handy. But it's always better when you're in trouble to have a friend. When we were living in Mint Hill and Dad was pastoring Mint Hill Baptist Church, there was a young boy that came to our church. His family came to our church, and he and I were in school together. His dad was retired out of the military as a martial arts instructor. This kid was the epitome of David Carradine in Kung Fu. I mean, average height, skinny as my finger, quiet, would hardly even speak to you when you spoke to him, very unassuming, and could kill you before you could blink your eyes. And we went with a school project down to the beach one time, and he and I were playing air hockey up in the arcade when one of the teachers and chaperones came in saying that there had that some of the girls were laying out on the beach and these two men who had been drinking had come and laid their blankets down beside of them and were talking to the girls, and she was worried about that. So I'm about twice this guy's size, and I'm like, we'll get in there, we'll handle it. But we get down there, and I'm walking in front because that's just the way he is. Right before we got there, though, he took a couple stutter steps and got in front of me and stopped and said, here, hold these. Took his shoes off and handed them to me. Walked down and said, guys, you know, you need to just be moving on, please. And this man, bigger than I am, stands up. Great, big old guy. Says, what do you think you're going to do? As fast as you could blink, this kid jumped straight up, turned a complete 360 in the air, with his foot, kicked the beer can out of the guy's hand, and reached up and just tapped him like that on the side of his face. Hit the ground, And both those guys were gone in an instant. In my warfare, I'm glad to have a friend like that. I just walked back up and handed him his shoes. I was a little embarrassed. You know, I'd
rather have had this myself so I look good in front of the girls.
But nah, he took care of it. You know, we have a friend named Jesus that'll help us in our warfare. But sometimes just simply physical presence of a friend we can see and touch, to whom we can hold hands with and agree with in prayer, is one of the strongest weapons. The Bible puts it this way, if any two of you agree as touching anything. Friends help us in our warfare. They help us to be strong. They help us to sometimes see the minefields that we can't see because we can't see the forest for the trees. And ladies and gentlemen, every one of us needs somebody in our lives with that kind of perspective on us and the freedom and the liberty to be able to speak. There's an expression that we use around our house that goes like this. If I ask you a question, will you give me an honest answer? Because there are times when we ask a question, and in order to spare somebody else's feelings, we'll just kind of hedge around the answer. But when that question comes out of her mouth or that question comes out of mine, what we are saying to each other is this. Whether you hurt my feelings or not is not what we're discussing here. I need to know the truth about something. And I need you to be honest with me, even if it hurts my feelings. Because I want to make sure I do this thing right. About 2 weeks ago, Michelle made a correction in my life that hurt my feelings. I sulked over it for a couple of days. Just kind of like that, you know? And what hurt my feelings about it? It was the truth. That's what hurt my feelings. But I wrestled with that thing and wrestled with that thing and wrestled with that thing. And said it, thank Jesus, I know. Because I really don't want to live in the dark. And I'm grateful for that correction. I'll share one more thing before we close. We have another expression in our house that goes like this. It's the word N-U-B, nub. Sometimes we'll be talking and discussing something with each other. And you should take this and take it home with you, okay? We'll be talking and discussing something with each other, and we're not real sure whether or not the conversation's done. So before the conversation's over, we'll say to each other, nub. Nub stands for no unfinished business.
And you can't lie. And you can't lie.
So when we're having those hearts-to-hearts, and you're not real sure the conversation's over yet, sometimes we'll go, nub. And if they pause, then you know there's still some unfinished business. Now, however how you get around to getting to that point, in relationships, we need to get to that point where we've said all that we needed to say in order to get it all out so that we know what it is we're dealing with. Nub. Nub. No unfinished business. Because you see, if there is unfinished business, that's a tool in the enemy's hand to stoke the fire to keep it going. I'm grateful to Jesus for being my friend. I'm grateful to you all for being my friend. And there's a world out there that needs a friend. Let's be committed to taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and friendless world. Do you have a friend? Are you willing to pay the price to make that friendship more real, more honest, more intimate? Do you have somebody that you can talk to? Do you have somebody when you run out of gas at 3 o'clock in the morning you can call? That would be me. I'll come get you. Wherever you are, I'll come get you. I will come. But you know, when Roger and I used to hang out with each other, we were best friends. We both had keys to each other's houses. We borrowed whatever the other one had. Never asked permission. Never asked permission and never brought anything back. If I went looking for something, when I went looking for something and I couldn't find it, I knew where it was. Somewhere at Roger's. Those kinds of friendships really enrich our lives. And I'll finish by saying this, and they are worth the price we pay to have them. Let's pray together. We most of all want to thank you for being our friend. And you've been a lot better friend to us than we've been to you. But we thank you that you've not given up on the relationship. And that you ever love us and guide us and correct us and affirm us. And that you are so trustworthy with the hidden things of our heart. We thank you for that, Jesus. Now, Father, for everyone here whom this morning's message has brought back to their remembrance and to their heart a pain from past friendships and relationships, Father, I ask you that by the power of the blood of the Lamb, you would heal those painful and hurtful memories and those painful and hurtful broken places in the heart. And then, Father, by your Holy Spirit, draw us to people that we can be friends with. People who can trust us and people whom we can trust. But Father, we're asking for this not simply because we want our lives enriched. But we're asking because as our lives are enriched, we're more effective for your kingdom. Jesus is the one who is worthy. We want him to have all that he died for. Watch over us during this week. Protect and guide. Father, for everything that your children lay their hands to do, we purpose in our hearts to do it as unto the Lord, and we'd ask you to bless it. Bless your people monetarily. Bless your people with joy and with peace. And find us faithful to be back in your house to worship you. We thank you for all your blessings over our lives. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great week.